Take your Bibles. You're going to want to open them to Revelation, last book in your Bible there. There's a verse there that I want you to see tonight. We've been looking at the King James Bible, and why do we use just the King James Bible, and how come we don't use other versions? Tonight's lesson is going to be what you would call maybe a little more typical. It's not maybe less history. It used to be, before the internet, when somebody said, "Pastor, why do we use the King James Bible?" You followed the pastor into his office. He would pull down a couple of Bibles, and he'd show you what I'm going to show you tonight. It took about 30 minutes, and after that, it settled the issue. Now that the internet is out, there is so much garbage out there over the different Bible versions, and if there is a scourge to the Word of God, it is the videos that are available out there. I've tried to tell you, our platform, we believe the Bible because God said so. I don't need scholarship. I don't need education. I don't need the intellectualism. I believe the goods are there. But all I need to know is somebody's, well, how do you know that's the Word of God? Because God said it is. That's why. God promised me in every word Bible. We can take it further from there. But the basis of my belief is my faith, not intellectualism or scholarship. That's important because there is so much garbage on the internet. Tonight's study is going to be a little more typical of what you would expect if you were looking into this issue. You're in Revelation chapter 22. Go to the last chapter in Revelation. I wanted you to see it in your Bible in case you haven't, because you need to. And I'm going to walk you through a couple of the verses. The rest of the Bible study is going to be, here's what the King James Bible says, and here's what the perversions say. So you can just kind of see the difference. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Here's what's amazing. "But by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God is taken out of the RV, the RSV, the NIV, Good News, NIV, ASV, NASB, CEV, NAB, MICKEYMOUCE. If this is the only thing you knew that was taken out of the new Bibles, isn't this enough? How does this read? So Jesus answers as Satan, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Well, no, okay. Isn't the crux of the whole verse, "but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God"? But that's what the new Bibles take out. Jesus told us in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So Jesus promised me every word would be preserved. Every word, because he said he promised to preserve his words, plural. Al Lacey used to say, God's word is not pure, God's words are pure. Amen? And aren't you glad? So God has promised to preserve his words, not his word as a whole. Amen? Much more specific, Psalm 12. We've gone over this, but it says the words of the Lord are pure words as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. So what is the word "them" referring to? The word "them" is referring to the words of the Lord, aren't they? Everybody who teaches against the King James Bible says, this is how they read it. Thou shalt keep them. This is talking about the people of that age. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Basic English says when you read that verse, "them" is referring to the Word of God and the words of God. So it's God's job to keep His words. He inspired them, He spoke them, and God through the ages has kept them pure. That's God's promise. Well, how do you know there's no errors in that book? Because God said there isn't. And it's not my job to keep them pure. It's God's job. Amen? God told us He would preserve His word forever. It's free from the error of men. Not all Bibles are, but God's word is pure from the errors of all men. Psalm 11:3 is very important. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundation of what we believe is the Bible. If you were the devil and you wanted to change what people believe, if you change a church, then people change churches. But if you change the Bible, you've changed the foundation of everybody's belief. So if you were the devil, if you could change a church or the Bible, what would you change? You could destroy a lot more lives by changing the Word of God, right? So there are satanic versions out there, and there's one Bible that God wrote, one Bible that God has kept pure. Revelation 22. I know I've got it up there, but you look at it in your Bible. Look at verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Somebody said, well, hear the words of the prophecy of this book. It's talking about the book of Revelation. The word Bible means book. Now, the word Bible isn't in the Bible, but the principle of God's book is in the Bible. And God isn't talking about, I don't want anybody not playing with the book of Revelation. God's saying, I don't want anybody touching my word. If you add to my word, I will add to you the plagues that are written. The man that wrote the Living Bible, Kenneth Taylor, I believe it is, he went blind. Logsdon, the man that was on the committee for the NIV, said after it was done, I've made a grave mistake. I'm in trouble with God. You don't play with God's word. The people behind the new versions, not all of them, but many of them have denounced what they played with. They said, we touched what we never should have played with. God says, you add to my word, I'll add to you the plagues. I love the old statement. It's just real simple. It's God's word. Don't touch it. It's God's word. Don't touch it. Does it need to be changed? It's pure already. If you haven't seen that in your Bible, where people get questioned about is the next verse. Look at verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So if you take anything out of the Word of God, like the first example we looked at, God said he'll take your part out of the book of life. Well, the first thought is this. You mean if somebody plays with the Bible, they lose their salvation? What is in the book of life? When you got saved, your name was written in the book of life. And then it says, God shall take away his name out of the book of life. It's the key word is part. If you play with the word of God, God will take your rewards, everything. You'll lose your reward. In other words, everything that you labored for as a Christian since you've been saved, God said, I will. You'll lose your rewards. Quitting on God, playing with the Bible, thinking you can come up with a better version and better words and stuff like this, that'll cost you your rewards. I don't think it costs you your salvation. I don't find anything in the Bible where God says that. But I do think that's consistent with, you mess with God's word, you'll lose rewards and you won't have anything when you get to heaven. Amen? That has raised some of the questions. That's how I've explained it. That's how I can. So don't add to the word of God and don't take away from the word of God. Leave it alone. In the King James Bible, and then we'll look up here at this way for the rest of it. The King James Bible, you take Isaiah 7:14, the prophecy of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The NASB and many of the other Bibles say, behold, a young woman shall conceive. There's no miracle in a young woman conceiving and bearing a son. The miracle is when a virgin conceives. And God references this in Matthew chapter 1, right? So, take away the miraculous, take away the sign of Christ. What they call Jesus, a bastard. They said, we be not born of fornication, John chapter 8. They called Jesus, they said, you're illegitimate. That's what the Jews told Jesus. No, he was the Son of God. That which is conceived in thee is of the Holy Ghost. No, he wasn't a bastard. But that's how the Jews viewed him. You see how this would fall in line with that? No, that's a change. That's one change. Let's look at another one. These changes that we're going to look at next refer to the deity of Christ or the fact that Jesus was God in the flesh. The King James Bible has no problem with that. And the King James in Ephesians 3:9, it says, who created all things by Jesus Christ. In the NASB, New American Standard Version, it says, who created all things, and it leaves out by Jesus Christ. Wow. See, they're not there are some things that they're retranslating and they say they're fixing. But if you don't have a King James Bible, you've heard me say this before, any other Bible you have, you start at 3,000 words missing, not gone. 3,000 words less. In some versions, it's 6,000 words that aren't, they're not retranslated, they're not there. Verses gone, the NIV takes out 16 and tell you all that. Okay, watch. Here we go. The names of Christ and the titles of his deity are missing. Jesus is missing in the NASV 73 times, in the NIV 36 times. Christ, God in the flesh, is missing 43 times out of here, 44 times out of the NIV. Lord is missing, taken away, 35 times out of both the NASV and the NIV. And God is taken out 33 times in NASV and in the NIV 31 times. Everybody, before, when a pastor showed this to somebody, this is all you needed to see. This was it. This was, okay, great, I'm sold. Don't need to see any more. I'll say it again, but because of the junk on the internet, James White and all those people that critique the Bible, they'll say, they'll debate you on the King James Bible if you don't do this. You're not allowed to do a chart study. You're only allowed to talk, but no, nothing like this. They can't stand this. Do you know why? Because this is powerful. It's like, we'll have a sword fight if you don't bring a sword. In 1 Timothy 3:16, watch this. The Bible says, wonderful verse, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God is taken out of the NIV, and it says, instead of God was manifest in the flesh, it says, he appeared in a body, was vindicated. But who's he? He's anybody. I'm a he. In other words, do you all see the damage that's being done? In Daniel 3:25, it says, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the flaming fiery furnace, when you read your Bible, you get the impression, you know, Jesus was right there with them. Bound, things that bound them are burned off, but they didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. Jesus was with them the whole time they were in the fire. The Son of God was in there. In the Holman Contemporary Standard Bible, HCSB, it says this. He exclaimed, look, I see four men, not tied, walking around in the fire, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Small g. What's that? That's demonic. In other words, something supernatural's in there. I can't tell what it was. Takes Jesus totally out of the story. What a horrible removal. In Luke 2:33, says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken. In the Holman Contemporary, just so you know, Holman is Southern Baptist. Okay, Holman is the Southern Baptist printing section of the Southern Baptist. They do the Sunday school lessons, the Holman Bible, anything you see with Holman on it is all Southern Baptist. Okay? They say, instead of, and Joseph and his mother, it says his father and mother, or it says the child's father and mother. You see how careful the King James is to say Joseph, because Joseph wasn't his father. God was. But the new Bibles cloud it and take away from the deity of the Lord Jesus by that. I've seen enough. Let's look at some verses that deal with the work of Jesus and what he did. All right? In the King James Bible in Matthew 18:11, it says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. In the NIV, the whole verse is gone. Not retranslated, gone. The number is gone. Like if you were looking in the NIV, Matthew 18:11, it goes 9, 10, 12, 13. The verse number and the verse is gone. It's like, what happened to it? And then when you look down at the bottom of the page, it's right there. This verse is not found in most older manuscripts, which we've learned is reference to the perverted Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. All right? There's 16 verses that are totally gone from, as a matter of fact, well, let's see. If we don't cover it, I'll cover it with you. Here we go. Luke 9:56. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. In the NIV, it just says, and they went to another village. Isn't that a beautiful part of the verse? Jesus didn't come to destroy men's lives. He came to make salvation possible. Why would you take that out of the Bible? It's gone. In the King James Bible, in Mark 10:24, it says, "How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God." So, it's in the NIV, NASB, RSV, it says this, "Children, how hard it is to enter into the kingdom of God." It's not hard to get saved. It's so easy to get saved by receiving Christ. D.L. Moody used to say this, "I'm going to tell you how to get saved, and my biggest fear is what I'm getting ready to tell you is so simple, most of you will miss it." It's not hard to get saved, but the new Bibles make it hard. You see that? Isn't that a horrible thing? Take that same phrase there. It's hard for people who trust in riches because when they have their money, they don't think they need God. That's what Jesus was originally saying, right? How hard it is for them that trust in riches. Look at the next one. In the New Living Translation, it says, "It is very hard to get into the kingdom of God." In the Contemporary English Version, it says, "It's terribly hard to get into God's kingdom." It's just getting harder and harder. Do y'all see, as far as it's hard for a person who's trusting in riches or money to get saved. Because I have everything I want. Why do I need God? Okay, I understand that. But it's not hard for somebody to get saved. Amen? Salvation is not difficult or terribly hard. In the New World Translation, now this is the Jehovah's Witnesses Bible, it says, "How difficult a thing it is to enter into the kingdom of God." Yeah, if you're Jehovah's Witness trying to labor, be one of them 144,000, Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, bless your heart. I was talking to a Spanish lady one time. She was a Jehovah's Witness, and she was in my bus route, and she came up to me, and we got the two people there, and I said, "Why are you doing this?" She said, "I'm trying to be a part of the 144,000. I said, "Really?" I said, "Here, look at Revelation 7. I said, "Wow, 12,000 from each tribe. Are you Jewish?" She goes, "No, I am Mexican." I said, Strike one. Looky here. Male. Strike two. Virgin. Married. Strike three. You out." I did. I showed her that. I said, "Bless your heart." I said, "You're laboring for something." I said, "You were told by the Jehovah's Witnesses that you could." I said, "That's sad. No, you'll never make it." I said, "Guess what? I'll never make it. I'm not trying to be part of the 144,000. Amen? Okay? Luke 9:55. "But he," Jesus, "turned and rebuked them and said, 'Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village." In the NIV, New Living Translation, Revised Standard Version, it says, "But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village." They took out for the, "You know not what manner of spirit are you of? For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives," but they took it out again. In the 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." In the New King James Bible, the NIV, RSV, NA, and the New American Standard Bible, it says, "For the message of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." And the end of the verse says, "But unto us which are saved, who are being saved." That's Catholic. Catholics believe salvation is a process. If you do this, you're 10%. Do this, you're 20%, 30%, almost there, and then you still never know. We believe it's a decision, right? I'm not being saved. I am saved. I trusted Jesus as my... I'm as saved as you... I'm saved to the uttermost. Amen? You can't get any more saved than I am. If you've trusted Jesus, you can't get any more saved than you are. You're not being saved. If you've trusted Jesus, you're saved. But the new Bibles turn it into a process. And for people who say the New King James Bible only changes the whithersoever thou goest and all that other stuff, that's garbage. It changes a lot more than that. Well, they don't make any changes in the New Testament. Yes, they do. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Message Bible says, "But unto us which are on the way to heaven," to salvation. On the way to salvation. You never get there. Okay? John 6:47, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John 6:47 in the NIV, NASB, RSV, NCV, it says, he who believes has everlasting. Believes what? They've watered it down, and this is what they're saying now in the mega churches. Just believe and receive. Just believe and receive. Believe what? If you water it down too much, people don't know. Everybody believes something, right? No, if you believe that Jesus died for your sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures, that's what you're supposed to. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16. Not believe and receive. Believe and receive. It's all over everything. It's just a watering down of it. I don't like hearing it. I think it confuses people, but the new Bible support it. Luke 23:42 says this, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, thief on the cross, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. In the new Bibles it says, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What's so bad about that? Jesus was the name of his humanity, right? What's the name Jesus mean? The Savior, or the one who can die. How come the thief on the cross got saved? Because he saw Jesus as God. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. If you believe Jesus before he died on the cross now, the thief didn't trust the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But what did Jesus say to the Jews? If you believe that I am he. So what did the thief on the cross see Jesus as? You've got a kingdom coming to you. And you're probably going to die, but you ain't staying dead. Lord, remember me. It's very important. Very important. He saw Jesus as God. The new Bibles take that out. In 1 Peter 4:1, it says, For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Isn't that sad? In the new Bibles, in the New American Standard Version, it says, Christ has suffered in the flesh. 1 Peter 4:1. In Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And then in the New American Standard Version, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But it takes out of Christ. More watering down. How come we just use the King James? How come we don't? Look, doesn't it help you to know? I don't even study from other versions. I don't try to, when I'm in the pulpit, I use the King James. But, when I'm in my office, I peek at other. Why would I peek at? How come I would dig through a garbage can to find nuggets? Why would I dig through rotten meat? I don't need the new versions. I don't need anything about them. Okay? Now let's look at these verses. These next verses are going to deal with the atonement of Jesus, or how he atoned for our sins, the work, his work that he did. In Colossians 1:14, the King James says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In the NIV, it says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. They took out blood. Yet without the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Did you know there's churches nowadays by the hundreds that have taken the hymn book and they take the blood? Any place where it mentions blood of Jesus, they take it out and put death. We don't want, blood's offensive, that's messy. Yeah, I got a bloody book. Amen? Every page in my King James Bible, every page dipped in blood. I got a bloody book, it's a bloody salvation. Slaughterhouse religion. Yeah, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. You better thank God for the blood. Amen? You don't take it out. But new Bibles, they do that. The NASV says redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The same thing. Watch this. It gives a false view. The new Bibles give a false view of death and judgment. So watch this. In the Psalm 9:17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. The modern versions say the wicked return to the grave, all nations that forget God. They say this, there's two words in the English language that there's no word like. One is the word mercy. There's no word like mercy. You want to know what the other word is? Hell. There's no word like hell. You take hell out of the new Bibles. I'll never forget this. 2 months ago, sitting there showing two young men in my office the plan of salvation. Right when I got to number two, the price on sin is hell. The wages of sin is death. And when I showed them that, and then we went to Revelation, I'll never forget what that young man said. He said, hell, that terrifies me. I said, wow, I'm glad. Because if you ain't scared, why would you get saved? If you think only the grave is coming, why would... No, there's fire coming eternally. You need to trust Jesus so you don't go to hell. But you see what they changed? They took hell out of the Bible. Watch this. In Deuteronomy 32:22, the King James Bible says, "For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell." The NIV Bible says, "For a fire has been kindled by my wrath, one that burns to the realm of death below." Most people, they're taught in the colleges, they're taught in the public schools. When you die, you cease to exist. Your body goes into the grave, and it's called annihilation or other things, but the new Bibles support that. Well, let me see. The NIV Study Bible, 1972, Virginia Mollycott, a professing lesbian. It also had an atheist on the committee out of the 12 people that were on the NIV committee. I wonder why they took hell out of the Bible. Because they didn't believe in it. Because they didn't believe in it. Proverbs 9:18 says, "But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." In the NIV it says, "in the depths of the grave." Once again, taking hell out of the Bible. In the modern versions, hell is completely removed from the Old Testament verses, and it is removed from 9 New Testament verses. So hell, what used to be found in the Old Testament, all the way through there, hell has risen up to meet thee, all of that. It's all gone out of the new versions. And it's taken 9 times out of the New Testament. Okay, that is it. Now, I tell you what, I told you I was going to show you one of the omitted verses in the NIV. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And let's just show you some of the doctrine. Acts chapter 8. Philip is talking to the Ethiopian eunuch here. This is one of those. Acts chapter 8. Watch what happens here, okay? So as we follow along on this in this story, it says here in verse number 30, "And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read with this." And then he's going to quote Isaiah 53. Okay? So he's going to read him the Bible. And then verse 34, "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Notice verse 36, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" So they come, I don't know what it was, a pond, a pool, or a stream. It just says, he said, "Here's water. Is there anything that's stopping me from getting baptized?" Notice verse 37. "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Then look at verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. What happens if you remove verse 37? Notice the end of verse 36. It says, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" If 37 isn't there, just start reading verse 38. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." All of the Bibles either modify, the NIV totally takes out verse 37. The way it reads in the NIV is 35, 36, 38, 37 is gone. Why would they do that? So that they could teach, if you want to get saved, you got to get baptized. Okay? Acts 8:37 is one of those verses, one of the 16 that the NIV totally takes out, totally removes. Another one would be 1 John 5:7. We go to the end of Mark, chapter 16. We go to John. All I'm telling you is, I have 2 other Bible versions in my office. I use them to show how poisonous the new Bibles are. I don't study from them. I don't read them. I don't refer to them. They're perverted. I want an every word Bible. Jesus said, "My words shall not pass away." Aren't you glad you got a King James Bible? And I don't, and watch this. We can close this way. If somebody uses a different version, normally it's because they haven't been taught. I don't think that every person that uses an NIV is a homosexual atheist. Okay? I said the people that were behind the NIV, and a homosexual and an atheist was there. I don't believe every person that uses a different Bible version is demon-possessed. I really don't. And watch this. I think you can get saved reading some of the other Bibles. I like what one person said. If you got a King James Bible here and an NIV here, the difference is you have one 100% USDA choice 2-inch thick steak. Over here you got Campbell's beef and noodle. Okay? That's the difference. Is there enough in the NIV for somebody to get saved? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. So I don't believe you have to read the King James Bible to get saved. Nor do I make that statement to anybody. Because I know people that read the King James Bible that aren't saved. You understand? I don't. In other words, don't go that direction. But I want you to know why you use the King James, why we use the King James Bible. No, and watch this. There may come a day I may need to, as a pastor, on Sunday mornings, I may need to say, if you don't have a King James Bible, please don't read along with us. God's not the author of confusion. And hopefully, if you see somebody that has a different Bible version, maybe it's their first time in church and you see them, man, they're got their NIV in this column and their Living Bible in this column and their, you know, I mean, they got their four-column multi-version Bible. Hopefully, you can tell them, hey, just do it real nice. If they got an NIV, just say, hey, let's read from mine. Because you don't want, you'd be surprised. Sometimes people come to church, man, they open up their contemporary English version, their CEV, it's the newest thing on the market. And they'll start reading and they'll know it's not what we're saying. And then they say it louder. They don't understand. Don't jump. Be nice to them. Be nice. But the King James Bible, I'm glad I know why I believe what I believe, and I hope it's been a help to you. Let's pray. Father, please thank you again for every word that's pure. Lord, I pray that you would...